It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy! Welcome, welcome! I hope you are doing great. I am okay. This is DJ Marcus. I'll be here for 30 minutes. Well, 27 minutes, because I'm a little bit late, as usual, when we're doing something live. Screw it, we'll do it live!
Resistance is futile.
Yep. Until I go back to the office, we'll probably do it live most of the time. Anyway, welcome. Thanks for being here. If you are listening and you want to chat with us, be sure to jump over to a non-radio room in comm. So SSH over, and then jump into comm. You get to say hi to cool people like Northern Lights and F-Fog, TYN, Stug, SMJ, Jazzmaz. Jazzmaz always present. So hello, hello. Welcome. I'm glad Northern Lights survived the traveling through the air. That sounds like an interesting, fun story to hear. Alrighty. So, yeah, just jump on over. I've gone over how to get into comm and chat with us a bunch of times. But, shucks, we're just so far behind. We just can't do it. Not today. It's alright, though. Don't worry. We still got...
Get the news over with. I want to hear the
music.
We're
still going to have a music, so don't worry. Alright. So, we're going to go ahead and get started the way we almost always start, and that's...
World news.
The world news. The top story, you may have seen or heard about it already, but Haitian President Jovenel Moïse has been killed in an attack at his home. Haiti's President Jovenel Moïse has been killed and his wife injured in an attack on their home in the national's capital of Port-au-Prince. Unidentified gunmen stormed the property at 1 a.m. Interim PM Claude Joseph said. He has called for calm and declared a state of emergency nationwide. Mr. Moïse has led Haiti, one of the poorest nations in the world, since 2017, but had faced widespread protests demanding his resignation. The nation's recent history has been plagued by coups, political instability, and widespread gang violence. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson tweeted that he was saddened at the death of Mr. Moïse, calling it an abhorrent act and appealing for calm. US President Joe Biden offered condolences to the people of Haiti for the horrific assassination. So, just as a heads up, Haiti, not Hades. As we all know, Hades has, there is no president down there. There's only gods. All right. What else is going on? Well, don't worry. Palestinians are still struggling. And basically, collectively, the world said,
it's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
So I wanted to be sure and mention this story just because, it pains me to talk about Israel and Palestine, but Palestine keeps getting screwed over, and these people are going to just be wiped off the face of the earth if we stop paying attention. Israeli forces demolished the Palestinian Bedouin community of Humsa al-Bakai in the Jordan Valley on Wednesday, including living and farming structures provided by the international community. At least 65 people, including 35 children, were displaced, said Christopher Holt of the West Bank Protection Consortium, a group of international aid agencies supported by the European Union that's assisting the residents. Welcome, welcome, Salt Today. Thanks for coming back. The demolitions left the villagers, who earned their livelihood primarily by herding some 4,000 sheep, homeless again. The EU in the past has helped residents rebuild after previous demolitions. Under the Oslo Accords, the Jordan Valley, which makes up 60% of the occupied West Bank, is classified as Area C, like Charlie, meaning it's under full Israeli military and civil control. It was the seventh time the hamlet has been demolished since November 2020, when, according to the Norwegian Refugee Council, 83 structures were destroyed and the largest single demolition incident recorded in recent years. Some of the makeshift homes and farm facilities were provided by the European Union. Humsa al-Bakai has received material assistance from the West Bank Protection Consortium, formed to prevent the forcible transfer of Palestinians into the occupied West Bank. Holt said the families have refused to leave the area. We understand what happened this morning is the Israeli military entered the community at around 9 a.m. They demolished everything in the community, including 8 residential structures. Israeli forces tried to forcibly transfer the families, which is illegal because this is occupied territory and the families have refused to leave. It's a very serious escalation. So, we'll see what happens. I don't know why the Israeli military just doesn't slaughter them all. It's only 100 people or so. They don't seem to have a problem killing people. So, anyway, they're just going to keep torturing these guys, I think. But, anyway, just a heads up, that is the news that you'll hear.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
I feel like that's the way the U.S., at least the U.S., a lot of the West, feels about a lot of tragedies, like the famine in Yemen, or the famine in Ethiopia, or almost all the tragedies going on in South Asia or in Africa. So, anyway, we'll just keep on rolling. Let's talk about Kenya. Protesters are clashing with police in Nairobi over COVID curfews and police brutality. Dozens of angry protesters clashed with police in the Kenyan capital of Nairobi on Wednesday as they demanded an end to lockdowns and curfews put in place to combat the spread of the coronavirus. Demonstrators also called for an end to what they say have been police brutality in the country, particularly towards younger people. "We are here to talk about our youth, the way they have been murdered, the way they were suffering, are suffering," protester Jane Atieno said. Police responded to the demonstrations by shooting live bullets into the air and throwing tear gas. Officers also made several arrests. Kenyan authorities have currently imposed a nationwide curfew from 2200 hours until 0400 local time, at least until July 27th, as part of its restrictions for COVID-19. Internal travel to parts of western Kenya has also been banned at least until July 27th, while public gatherings are currently prohibited. So, that's going on there. There's one other place. On July 7th, 1990, Kenyans took to the streets to demand free elections. The politicians who had called for the protests, Kenneth Matiba and Charles Rubia, were arrested days before the protest day. Other organizers of the day, such as Njiru Gathang, George Ayona, Raila Odinga, etc., were beaten up and detained during the administration of former President Daniel Arap Moi. Nationwide protests soon followed and became known as Saba Saba, the second liberation struggle in Kenya. Wednesday's protest was also to mark the 31st Saba Saba, marked on July 7th every year. So there's some cultural significance with that as well. But don't worry, Africa is not the only place struggling with COVID. Highly contagious Delta variant could ruin France's summer. The highly contagious Delta variant now represents around 40% of new COVID-19 infections in France, government spokesman Gabriel Attal said on Wednesday, and could jeopardize the summer if a fourth wave of infections isn't allowed to build. Attal said forging ahead with the vaccination campaign was the best way to avoid a return to tough curbs on movement and socializing. He urged any hesitant citizen to get the shot. The share of this variant has doubled each week over the past 3 weeks in France, from 10% of infections 3 weeks ago to 20 last and 40 this week. Wow. Hey, and 10 is letting us know in com, they once had a Saba TV set. So, very interesting. I didn't know that that was a brand. So let's see. The variant's dangerous and quick wherever it's present. It can ruin the summer, Atal told a news conference. COVID infection rates were surging higher in 11 metropolitan regions, and that situation was deteriorating rapidly in the Île-de-France region around Paris. I guess that's what it is. I'll put that in com, and the francophones can tell me how bad I did. With infection rates in the capital nearly doubling over the past week, getting more and more warning signals, and we could see the same trajectory as in neighboring countries. Cases in Britain are soaring, while in Spain and Portugal, the accelerating infection rate has already forced authorities to impose new sanctions, such as curfews, new restrictions, such as curfew measures. So, you got to be careful about that, and just heads up. Go ahead here. We got one other story. I've got this guy in my head.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
All right. We're going to go through two more stories and then we'll play a song. Don't worry. Zimbabwe returns to strict lockdown amid vaccine shortages. Yep, don't worry, this isn't a repeat. Yep, it is July 7th, 2021, and we are repeating the news, basically, that we had in July 7th, 2020. Countries all around the world ignoring the virus, trying to act like it doesn't exist, and reaping serious consequences. Zimbabwe has returned to strict lockdown measures in a bid to combat a resurgence of COVID-19 amid vaccine shortages. Information, Monica Mutsvangwa announced Tuesday. She said to try to contain the spread, most people must stay home, similar to restrictions adopted in March last year when towns and cities became almost deserted. Mutsvangwa added that people will now need letters from employers to justify why they must move out of their neighborhoods with immediate effect. She said stiffer penalties will be imposed for violations, including revoking the licenses of offending businesses. Infections have soared in recent weeks despite a night curfew, reduced business hours, localized hot lockdowns in hotspot areas, and a ban on inner-city travel. So, it's going to be pretty wild in a lot of places, but that's what's going on in Zimbabwe. And one more story before we get on into the news, or to the music. I don't know how you're supposed to say this, so I'm just going to guess. Peter R. DeVries, shooting of investigative reporter stuns the Dutch. The son of Dutch investigative reporter Peter R. DeVries has said the family's worst nightmare came true when his father was shot and seriously wounded. Royce DeVries added that the family were taking enormous support from the messages of solidarity pouring in. Mr. DeVries, 64, was shot on Tuesday after leaving a TV studio in Amsterdam. Three men were arrested, but police say one is no longer a suspect. Officials say the journalist is fighting for his life in the hospital. The veteran journalist is well known for his coverage of the criminal underworld, exposing gangsters and drug lords. He's helped police solve a number of high-profile cases and also investigated cold cases, especially concerning children and teenagers. Mr. DeVries has faced danger because of his work in the past. He has needed police protection after receiving threats in connection with his coverage of criminal cases, and in 2019, police told him he was on the hit list of the Netherlands' most wanted criminal. Prime Minister Mark Rutte said the shooting was shocking and incomprehensible, adding that it was an attack on a courageous journalist. King William Alexander and Queen Maxima said they were deeply shocked and that journalists must be free to carry out their important work without threats. So, that's going to be what's going on there in the Netherlands. It's pretty surprising there. We're going to go ahead and play a song, and then we have a story about Belgium. This song is from Bad Religion, and it's called Better Off Dead.
I'm sorry. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
You got to push the talk button if you want to talk. Oh, man. I tried to post a link in com, and I got a permission denied, but then it posted. So, hey, what do you know? Sometimes permission denied is just a warning. Thank you so much for listening. This is Anon Radio. It's powered by SDF, which is a public access Unix system, which means it's public access. If you'd like to join, just go on over to sdf.org if you want to read about it, or you can SSH over from your terminal, just SSH new at sdf.org, and you'll be able to follow the sign-up prompts and get all set up. It's a ton of fun. There's lots to do, so check it out. And I'd be remiss if I didn't remind you, in 10 minutes and some change, the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. We've been on owl hunts lately. There's also golf balls, synthesizers, just all sorts of stuff. No Eurorack enthusiast, though. If you're a Eurorack enthusiast, I'm sorry, this program might not be for you. So, anyway, hope to see you there. Stick around, join up in comm if you want to talk during the show, and have some fun. Alrighty. Well, let's go ahead and get started. I promised you guys a Belgian news story when I left, and, well, here we go. World News. Belgium unveils plans to return DRC artwork stolen during colonial rule. Belgium has promised to return artworks plundered from its former Congolese colony as it seeks to confront its brutal colonial past. Belgium's Africa Museum, a former totem to empire that has undergone a 75 million euro revamp and decolonization process, has said up to 2,000 works, including statues, musical instruments, and weapons, were acquired illegally during colonial rule of a swath of Central Africa, mostly the modern-day Democratic Republic of Congo. The Black Lives Matter movement has accelerated Belgium's reckoning with its colonial past, with statues to former King Leopold II defaced in the wake of global protests. Leopold II ran the Congo Free State as his personal fiefdom from 1885 to 1908 before ceding control to the Belgian government, which controlled the territory until its independence in 1960. So, this is great news that they're returning things. It's also great Belgium's reconciling with this, because maybe other countries will slowly kind of reconcile with it. I don't know if the U.S. will. The genocide of the indigenous people of the U.S. American continent is kind of something I don't know if we'll be able to deal with. Or slavery, or what else? The abuse, just all the abuses and negative things, bad things the United States has done. But it sure would be cool if we started working on it. Anyway, sorry. I'm letting a lot of things spill out today. It's all right. Because, you know, that's just what happens. It's all right. Here.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Let's talk about other news. Armed Afghan women are taking to streets in show of defiance against the Taliban. Women have taken up guns in northern and central Afghanistan, marching in the streets in the hundreds and sharing pictures of themselves with assault rifles on social media in a show of defiance as the Taliban makes sweeping gains nationwide. One of the biggest demonstrations was in central Ghor province, where hundreds of women turned out at the weekend, waving guns and chanting anti-Taliban slogans. They're not likely to head to the front lines in large numbers anytime soon because of both social conservatism and lack of experience. But the public demonstrations at a time of urgent threat from the militants are a reminder of how frightened many women are about what Taliban rule could mean for them and their families. There are some women who just wanted to inspire security forces, just symbolic, but many more were ready to go to the battlefield, said Halima Paratish, the head of the Women's Directorate in Ghor, and one of the marchers. That includes myself. I and some other women told the governor around a month ago we're ready to go fight. The Taliban have been sweeping across rural Afghanistan, taking dozens of districts, including in places such as northern Badakhshan province, which 20 years ago was an anti-Taliban stronghold. They now have multiple provincial capitals in effect under siege. So, it's going to be pretty rough. There's not going to be any evacs because there aren't any embassies to evacuate. Everyone's left. In the areas they control, the Taliban have already brought in restrictions on women's education, their freedom of movement, and their clothing, activists and residents of the area say. In one area, flyers were circulating demanding that women put on burqas. Even women from extremely conservative rural areas aspire to more education, greater freedom of movement, and a greater role in their families. According to a new survey of a group whose voices are rarely heard, Taliban rule would make them take them in the opposite direction. So, I just wanted to be sure and let you guys know that that's going on in Afghanistan, like, the day after we leave in the middle of the night. They're rising up to fight back. Well, well, you know what? Sorry, it took me a second. I had to reboot. I don't know what start noise computers make these days. But SMJ, you're funny. All right, boom. Let's keep going. Focus. We're focusing. You know why? Because we got to go. We got stuff to do. We got dubious goals to committee. All right. Barrage of rockets fired at airbase housing U.S. troops in Iraq. At least two people wounded as 14 rockets hit Ain al-Assad airbase in western Iraq, the U.S.-led International Military Coalition says. At least 14 rockets have hit an airbase in western Iraq that is hosting U.S. and other international forces, slightly wounding at least two people, according to the United States-led military coalition in the country. Now, the word choice here is interesting because this is, I'm guessing these are soldiers. They're on an Air Force base, but they call them people. And then, don't worry, we'll call them something else if they're not on our site. The spokesman for the U.S.-led coalition, Colonel Wayne Morodo, said that al-Assad Air Base in western Iraq was attacked early in the afternoon by 14 rockets that landed on the base and its perimeter, prompting the activation of defensive measures. Two personnel sustained minor injuries. Damage still be assessed. He said in a later Twitter post, updating an initial statement of three minor injuries. Statement from security media cell affiliated with Iraq's security forces said a mobile rocket launcher hidden in a truck loaded with bags of flour and parked in a nearby village of Baghdadi was used in the attack. It added that the 14 rockets were fired toward the base while the rest exploded on the truck, damaging some villages, homes, and a mosque. Iraq's government called it a terrorist attack and a flagrant violation of Iraqi laws. A previously unknown group calling itself the Brigades to Avenge al-Muhandis said its members fired 30 rockets toward the base run by American occupiers. It added a message to U.S. troops, "We will force you to leave our lands defeated." The group is named after Iraqi militia leader Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, who was killed last year in a U.S. drone attack in Baghdad, along with Iranian General Qasem Soleimani. The U.S. accuses Iranian-backed militia groups of launching regular rocket attacks against its troops in Iraq. Some 2,500 U.S. soldiers are deployed in Iraq as part of an international coalition to fight the ISIL or ISIS armed group. They have been targeted almost 50 times this year. So they're trying to strike terror into the heart of our military by shooting bombs at them. Very, very scary for the occupying forces. All right, let's talk some technology real quick.
Is it time for tech news?
Hubble trouble. There's Hubble trouble. NASA's great eye in the sky, the golden-mirrored James Webb Space Telescope, passed a key... What? Oh, NASA's next great eye in the sky, the golden-mirrored James Webb Space Telescope, passed a key review this week, bringing it one step closer to launching in November and observing new parts of the cosmos for scientists here on Earth. It's good news for the United States Space Agency, which has spent the last several weeks trying to troubleshoot issues with its current window on the universe, the Hubble Space Telescope. The storied telescope has revolutionized our understanding of the cosmos for more than three decades and is experiencing a technical glitch. According to NASA, the Hubble Space Telescope's payload computer, which operates the spacecraft's scientific instruments, went down suddenly on June 13th. As a result, the instruments on board meant to snap pictures and collect data are not currently functioning. The agency's best and brightest have been working diligently to get the aging telescope back online. They've run a barrage of tests but still can't seem to figure out what went wrong. It's just the difficulty of trying to fix something orbiting 400 miles over your head instead of in your lab, Paul Hertz, the director of astrophysics for NASA, told Al Jazeera. And a banking app has been suddenly closing accounts, sometimes not returning customers' money. Chime, a neobank, that's in quotes, serving millions, is racking up complaints from users who can't access their cash. The company says it's cracking down on an extraordinary surge in fraudulent deposits. The day after Jonathan Marrero's federal stimulus payment landed in his bank account, he took his 5-year-old twins out for lunch at Applebee's near where he lives in New Jersey. When he went to pay, his only means of payment, a debit card issued by the hot finance technology startup Chime, was declined. He didn't understand why. Marrero had checked his account earlier that day and saw a balance of nearly $10,000. Without Applebee's server standing next to him, he quickly pulled out his phone to check his Chime app, just as he had hundreds of times since it launched in January. Marrero couldn't log in. He immediately checked his email and found a message from Chime that read, "We regret to inform you that we've made the decision to end our relationship with you at this time. Your spending account will be closed." He had no choice but to call his parents to have them pay the lunch bill. So, yeah, very scary. We don't have time to go through the rest of it. But Frito-Lay workers are joining the are going to be striking soon as well. So look into that at World Socialist website. Thanks so much for listening.
Well, that sound means that
it's time for the Derby's Goals!
Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Is that what the sound is? I don't know. We still have a couple seconds, I guess. Begin transmission. 9, 8,